Okay, we are recording. So are you visiting someone or is somebody visiting you?
Someone's visiting me. Two okay. people are visiting me.
You're having company while we're podcasting.
Well, I don't need to do anything.
Oh, you're just going to let them roam around and
let them wreak havoc.
Nice. Hey, I'm Derek.
And I'm Tanya.
We've got three kids. Rainy?
Yeah.
Emerson?
And Atlas. We're set to learn about marriage, parenting, and whatever else comes up as we stumble through the joys and sorrows of life.
This is the journey of two young, homeschooled Christian parents exploring what we're teaching and learning while we grow ourselves and raise our kids.
There's not really a lot of trouble they can get into.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, she looks like me.
She does look like you. Look
me
at
me with
that.
A nose job.
And glasses, or different glasses. Do you have glasses in the game in Animal Crossing?
Uh-huh. Honestly, I don't know why Nintendo would not just make like visiting each other as a part of the game, because it makes the entire game way more compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to pay for that feature is just very strange. And then you pay for that feature, but the feature is the worst.
That's true. Yeah, Nintendo needs to get way better about multiplayer stuff in general, because multiplayer in Animal Crossing is nothing short of sort of obnoxious. Where was that place that you went to a couple of days back that was just people were coming and going and you couldn't do anything? You couldn't even leave because people were just coming and going, and then you have to wait.
It was somebody's island that I went to for a visiting character, and then I got back to my island. It took like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
To get back to my island because I couldn't move at all.
And then people
also
just
I was being too generous. Like, I wanted to give the host something and she wanted to catalog the one item.
Uh-huh.
So then I went and bought the item, but right when I bought it, somebody left the game quietly, which stole the item from my inventory, and I had to go back and buy it again.
Oh no.
Like, it will disengage from whatever you last tried to do.
Wow, that's awful.
So I had to go back. Like, I think it moved us all over to the airport again. So I had to go all the way back whilst many people were pummeling the island. The problem is it takes like 3 minutes for each new person to come in, plus uh-huh. all the buildup to say that they're leaving.
Yep. Well, lovely. You go ahead and run around with your friend while we talk to the people, and we'll see how this goes.
I'm not doing anything.
Oh, you're not. You're just going to stand there awkwardly by the fountain. Just stare at the people as they run by. And
yep. Hope that nobody gets offended by my spots of conversation about Tom Nook.
Yes, you are full on resistance mode against Tom Nook. You'll have to
just subtle reminders for my island.
Just some little bit of peaceful island. Protest.
Yeah. Which now feels disrespectful.
No, you had the idea before everything went down.
It was here for a while,
yes,
but now I'm like, if people visit, it might be offensive.
I don't think, I mean, so I understand being cautious and not wanting to, you know, trigger people that may have strong feelings about the Black Lives Matter stuff one way or the other, but I don't think that it's posed in such a way as to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not your heart. And these people only know
the
internet.
We're talking about a capitalist, what is it? Oligarchy?
Oligarch? He might be an oligarch. I think he's more of an autocrat.
Oligarchically.
Mafia boss?
Yeah.
Oligarch. I think you're within your rights to protest. And
it's not a protest. It's like silent tagging around the island about
mm-hmm.
the state of things.
Yeah.
Anyways, how are you doing, Derek?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. It's been a couple of months since we've recorded, let alone released, a podcast. And a lot has happened since we've gone through, what was it, like 70, 80 days worth of lockdown? I don't know the actual number.
It's been 84 years.
Yeah, it feels like it. And yet it's also felt like it's been 2 weeks in some respects, but that's just quarantine time dilation for you.
So. Okay. It has not felt like it's been 2 weeks.
And I'm saying that there's like there are some weeks that just kind
of... And you're not allowed to talk about dilation being an easy process, so...
No, it's not been an easy process. I'm not trying to undermine anything that you're saying. It is one of those things where time has a little bit of no meaning because it feels like some things happened a long time ago that happened really recently, and some things that have happened recently felt like a long time, like that sort of stuff, like mm-hmm. things get mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but yes, more on the side of 84 years, it has felt like.
It's probably largely because I've been staying at home and I don't have a job that I get to go out for, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your support system's gone because we haven't been able to visit people.
Mm-hmm. My, like, if the kids are feeling some sort of way, we go to the library or we go to the park or we go mm-hmm. to Chick-fil-A playground or, you know, that fish place, but none of these are an option. I really need to poop. I'm very sorry.
Thank you for just running that into the last sentence so that it'll be hard to edit out. That's great.
You can keep it in there.
So what else about quarantine has been challenged? What else has happened? What else? How's sort of your brain evolved and processed as we've gone through this? Because when we recorded, it was only about 3 or 4 weeks in, mm-hmm. I think. And it's been at least a month and a half since then, if not two. And now we just hit the lifting of the stay-at-home order for our area.
Yesterday.
And yesterday we spent all day at family, which was great. Everybody else has been good. So we've gotten together. Obviously we still got to be careful in this time, just watching to see what a second wave is going to look like for our area, if the measures that have been put in place are going to be enough, etc. But I want to talk more about what happened in quarantine and sort of your mental state through it all. Like, just,
I feel like we talked a little bit about it before. Just, it's really hard to be refreshed. It's very hard to be refreshed when your norm is gone, mm-hmm. I guess, and your normal coping mechanisms are gone. I think that we've worked really hard to create a scheduled life. That doesn't make sense because it's not like we're very scheduled people, but I mean, we have date nights worked in. We have time with family worked in because we know what type of support and like what is good for our emotional state.
Mm-hmm. This is usually what happens without when we're not in quarantine.
Yeah.
Yep.
So to kind of lose those interactions, and people need each other, obviously, but mm-hmm. to lose that support system is very tiring. And then, I mean, my work hours have gone way through the roof in a lot of ways. So it's just like I work all day with kids, entertaining them without our normal getaways and fallbacks. And then you come home and I've like tried to eat in advance so I can go and work right away, and then work until like their bedtime sometimes or like later, and then try to find time with you. But often we're both still working.
Mm-hmm.
Just going 24/7 is kind of a lot for yeah. a human.
Well, yeah. And work for me has been like, we were one of the companies that got the payment protection or payroll protection plan approval. So like we got overtime back, like overtime was encouraged and stuff like that to try to push some of these jobs that, that we've sold to get them to finish while we're under like forgivable expenses and stuff. Which I have mixed feelings about, but that's another thing. But anyway, we got overtime back, and probably at some point in the future, we're going to lose overtime because we'll go back to trying to restrict expenses and stuff as we're waiting for the economy to come back to something that wants solar again. And so I've been trying to do like training and like side project stuff for work done in the evenings and on the weekends when I can, so that we can, you know, make money where we can. But sometimes like we just hit a breaking point where we're like, oh, we just can't, the mental health, I need to just spend time with my family. I need to, you know,
yeah. And you have been working some overtime hours, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. I put in a 60.
That's an important part of the process too. Both of us are working more hours with less support.
Tanya's work has definitely increased because the need for graphic design for a church is greater when everything is happening online and remotely. So that's both good and bad. Good because she gets to flex more of her muscles and you know, do more great work, and bad because it's just the increased work of both having kids who have more needs that need to be entirely fulfilled by you or I, and having additional mental health issues ourselves due to the fact that we don't have anybody to talk to or to be in person with and stuff like that. So that's been...
Yeah, and it's hard to do creative work when you are emotionally exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
Or if even physically exhausted, because it's hard to come up with creative things.
Mm-hmm. And then it makes it... And then you have like spurts of inspiration where you're like, I need to go do this now because I'm inspired. And, you know, it might be late in the evening when we're going to spend time together. Yep. And let's just, it's a better time to do it for the work. It's all a balancing act that none of us know how to quite deal with yet.
And yeah. Or if I think that I'm going to start working during nap time and then somebody wakes up immediately and I get interrupted 15 times during one short project, it's hard to stay focused on creative work.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I'm really grateful for creative work too, because that's scratching my creative itch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It gives you some kind of a quote unquote purpose during.
Yeah. But again, I just feel super, it feels ungrateful to talk about what's hard because I feel like it's way harder for other people. But I know that my suffering does not, sharing my suffering does not lessen others' suffering.
Well, and I think it's important to bring out the fact that we are not entirely happy about quarantine either, because our last podcast was mostly like sunshine and rainbows. Like, I can't believe we get to be together for this time. And then shortly after that, I went back to work. And then, I mean, obviously that makes things a lot harder when I go back to work full time and I'm not here all the time.
But we are grateful for work.
Yeah. Yes, obviously.
But yeah.
And I hit, there was a point a week or two after the last podcast where I kind of hit somewhat of like a mental breakdown or like a depressive state where and some of this I bet can be credited to the ADHD. The fact that I was incredibly stimulated off of all of the coronavirus stuff and information and news and figuring things out. And I just got super focused on that. And then after a while,
hyper-focus or something.
Yeah. And then after a while, I started, the news starts, you know, dropping off. We're starting to learn less. We're starting to get more of a stable understanding. And then all of a sudden,
the novelty is worn off.
Yeah, well, the novelty wasn't worn off for me, but there was just nothing nothing new to assimilate. Like, I wasn't able to keep going at the speed because the speed slowed down, which was good. Like, getting more stable understanding of the coronavirus is good, but then I don't have anything new to like share or think about or whatever. And then then that stimulation starts dropping off, and I'm like, and I'm still trying to fill it with social media, and I start, you know, trying to grasp at straws, and it's not good. And so had to deal with that some, and I'm at a better spot. And, I was at a better spot. and we'll talk about this later too, but, and then the protests around George Floyd and stuff started happening, which is which just starts that whole process again for me. You actually got focused on it first, and now I'm sort of jumping on the train some. But we do want to talk about that stuff too, because that's really important. But anyway, so it's been an interesting journey with quarantine, and now we're getting close to the end of it, or we are at the end of the lockdown. So we're trying to figure out how does life work now that we are allowed to do anything we want, but we're probably still not going to do everything that we want because there are silly people out there that are going to do foolish things and, you know, create the second wave of the coronavirus and everything. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you just outlined everything.
Yeah. Because that basically is it.
Yeah. I think the empaths in the world are definitely feeling many things right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to say, like, this is hard for everybody, but it's way harder for other people than for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me to not be able to go out and do more out publicly to support my Black friends because I probably shouldn't take toddlers to the protests going on right now with everything going on with the police, but I also want to be more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of options for supporting my Black friends from home,
mm-hmm.
Financially and in other ways. And I definitely have bought a lot more books and stuff.
Now, why don't we just dive into that? Because we're just going to keep circling around it until we talk about it. So there have been, there was a man named George Floyd who, he was accosted by the police for, either forging a check or for supposedly forging a check or passing counterfeit money. This was what the police were trying to accost him for. And, it turned into, George Floyd having the police officer put his knee on his neck until he died. And it was all captured on video and people were saying, please stop. And he's saying, I can't breathe and this sort of stuff. Horrible. Like, this is stuff that happens all the time to Black people. And for whatever reason, this was the one that started just nationwide protests, international protests. There's international protests happening.
Yeah, like it's been the largest peaceful protest in a really long time because mm-hmm. all the states have, or many of the states have,
absolutely enormous. And there have been so many issues with, this protest against police brutality against Black people has resulted in a lot of police brutality towards these protesters, which just escalate the whole thing. And there's been very poor management from leadership in certain places by just escalating things with police decked out in riot gear, you know, bringing in the military. President Trump is obviously just awful for this. He is positioning himself as the president of law and order, which when you have a huge protest like this is just the worst thing that you can do. If you're trying to vilify the people that are protesting, they are going to just protest more. You're going to get more violence, more that stuff when you are inciting violence. And the police are not doing a very good job themselves. They have been inciting violence against peaceful protesters, against the media. Helicopters have been deployed to try to scare off protesters, like large military vehicles rolling through DC. It is kind of scary to see the choices that the federal government is going with for this sort of stuff. Anyway, but it's been really cool to see all these protests happen, mixed with the feeling that, oh, this is probably going to be really bad for the coronavirus outbreak here in the next month or so. But holding both things in my hands on that. I'm sorry, I just went off and monologued and didn't let you say anything.
No, that's
fine. I want to hear your thoughts and feelings around this too, because you were the one that really got into this first. I deleted Twitter and was like going to be off of social media for a little while, about just like a couple of days before this stuff started happening. And so you got into it way before I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear your thoughts too.
Yeah. I think that this time around, I feel like every 2 years or year we have a situation like this, but this year it hit people harder in their hearts, maybe because a lot of us are stuck at home and have more time to think about these things. Mm-hmm. And we can't fill our lives with other things and ignore it. But I feel like the last time that there was a strong Black Lives Matter movement, I was probably one of the ones who didn't understand why saying all lives matter wasn't helpful. And so,
me too.
This time around, like, and I'm so like ashamed of myself that it's taken me a while. I've just woken up in the morning and had breakthroughs in my understanding of maybe just grasping a little bit of what my Black friends are probably feeling. Not like personally, but just putting myself in their shoes and being like, if someone killed my friend or my child, like I would probably want to burn the city down too. Is it right? No, but is that like the priority at the moment for us to even be discussing? And I have so many of my white friends on my timeline who just want to talk about rioting and looting, which again, we can even have a conversation about how much of that is peaceful protesters and how much of that is agitators and people who want to jump in.
Mm-hmm. Or just white supremacists coming in to intentionally sabotage.
Yeah, there's been a KKK member from Hershey that showed up to agitate protesters and mock them to their faces. And just so much of what is going on is chilling and heartbreaking. And, you know, I've been trying for a while to encourage my children towards an understanding of racial justice. And like, that's my job within our family to do that. But to ask what else I can be doing, I don't know. I also had this expectation before for all my Black friends to research and educate me, which is incredibly unfair for people who are entirely emotionally and physically exhausted and fearing for their lives right now, to ask them to answer my questions with no payout or any sort of support, you know. Yeah, so it's been hard for me to see people posting about looting, etc., with very strong feelings, but saying nothing else. It's been hard for me to see how many times Candace Owens' videos have been posted.
Oh my goodness.
Candace Owens is a lot of misinformation, and she's like the token Black person that all of the white people are like, this person agrees with me, so I'm going to post it.
Yep. It's the token Black Trump supporter.
Yeah. And I can't imagine how infuriating it is for all of my Black friends to be screaming at the top of their lungs, give us justice. And my white friends find the one person who agrees with them that Black Lives Matter is silly, and they're posting her.
And they post her saying, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything that this person says, but she brings up some good points. I'm like, you're looking the wrong direction. I get that there's people who are attempting to make good faith criticism of stuff, and that can be important. It's good to keep people accountable and you know, check people's priorities and things. But this is not a time of nitpicking, because there have been so many videos of Black people dying due to police brutality against Black people, which is a severe issue that should have been addressed years ago, but due to the systemic racism in how we address these issues, it has now come to a point where it has needed to be escalated such to a point that there are hundreds of thousands of people walking the streets demanding for justice for for black people because the white people have been so nitpicky that they've refused to see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem. It's the problem of looking at a plant and seeing that, oh, this isn't a tree. So there can't possibly be a forest here because the forest should have trees in it. Well, there's lots of there's the whole forest is filled with trees. You just pick the one plant that is not a tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, it's the exact morally, same.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's the exact same with anti-vax stuff. Like, you can always find one person that agrees with you. You can always find one resource that agrees with you in some way. But is that where the general information is? Like, what is the vast majority of information?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's the same people complaining about quarantine who are complaining about vaccinations and complaining about the Black Lives Matter movement mm-hmm. on my timeline. I've unfollowed a lot of people just because, not because I am trying to censor information, although I don't love having misinformation all over my timeline. There's just only so much that I can handle emotionally right now.
No, yeah.
And I have dialogued with a lot of my friends who have racist tendencies, but I don't feel like I'm convincing anyone on the internet. And
yeah,
well, I would like to talk to these people in person more.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of conversations with people on the internet anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I also am a little discouraged by, I believe that the Bible is our source for truth, but for people to go to every, for their only interaction with posts is to be like, we need Jesus, or like to Jesus juke it instead of like making actionable change is really hard for me to see too, because I'm watching this and thinking, how does the world see Christ followers right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do they see us as rushing to open our church building at a complete disregard for the public health? Do they see us silently sitting at home throwing Bible verses at them while they are out in the streets sweating and protesting and working towards actionable change? Like, what do they see? The fact that a church was like burnt down when they reopened with like that whole, but you'll stay home now, hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And the Christians on my timeline were saying, you know, this is persecution. And I'm like, the crap it is. Like,
yeah,
this is how people are seeing Christians, like completely disregarding those around them. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the president going and standing, going and tear gassing and
oh my goodness.
Having the
a photo
cops,
op with a Bible in front of a church.
Yeah, clumsily fumbling with the Bible until he like holds it up awkwardly in one hand in front of the church, and then the conservative media goes wild that this is such a picture of power and greatness, and
the church pastor says we had no idea he was coming and we don't support this photo op.
Yep.
And I mean, the pressure on even our pastor right now, with people coming at him saying, like, you're following conspiracy, like, you're believing the government, and all of the pressure that are on pastors right now to reopen,
mm-hmm.
or people just not being happy about pastors making statements about Black Lives Mattering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at the nation as a whole, the church is not a persecuted species. We are not being persecuted
in the
right
U.S.
Now. The fact that we cannot
take
gather,
a little gander over to China and then come back to the U.S. and talk about persecution.
Yeah, holy crap! I mean, the fact that we're complaining about not being able to gather. Like, yeah, okay, it's horrible that we can't gather right now. But this is not a government imposed thing. This is something that,
at least not in PA.
Well, yeah. So in PA, it's not actually like a government.
You're allowed to still gather with safe health.
Well,
protocols.
you're even, I believe you're even allowed to just gather. I don't think there was actually, well,
there's Amish church in our area that just kept gathering and doing communion out of one cup, and apparently a bishop died and now they're taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
Don't giggle, Derek.
No, it's just it's
exasperated, it's laughter.
Exactly.
I know.
It's like, how do you, yeah. So in PA, it's not, the churches were encouraged to, you know, take this seriously and wisely. It was not mandated for the churches to close. I think if we wanted to, we would still be able to gather with the same numbers that we usually do. But our pastor is wise in that he has not had the church gather since the outbreak started happening. There is a plan to open it up. I do not think we will be attending for a long time. Same with my family, not because we don't want to fulfill the word, the command of God to gather, but because there is a virus that is killing people. And if we gather, we have a greater chance to kill more people. And that seems to be sort of a more important commandment to uphold right now. We can still gather and communicate with believers. We can still grow in our faith. Obviously, gathering together in person is a better, more is the preferred way to do this from the Bible. But we are in weird times right now, times that are, you could say, you know, apocalyptic and given to us by God. It's not a far stretch to say that America or the world is being judged in some way by this virus. The fact that Christians cannot hold church like normal without risking the lives of everybody around them. And it just frustrates me to no end that people see this as an overstep in government, as opposed to the government trying to protect people. And we have the opportunity to come together with the community to protect them too. And a lot of people are very loud about not doing that. And I'm very upset at everybody. And I'm done with my rant now. I am very sorry. Now, people can also point out the fact that the Black Lives Matter protests also increase this risk. And that is something that is good to point out because, yes, of course it does. It is going to increase coronavirus risk potentially a lot. I mean, they are outdoor protests.
And a lot of people wear masks.
A lot of people are wearing masks, but you still have a lot of people very close together. It just by nature increases risk. And yes, that is something good to think about. And we don't really have another option right now as well, other than to let the protests continue because they are very well deserved. We had the opportunity to listen and learn from these protests years ago and we didn't. If we continue to try to squash these protests, it's going to turn nasty, real nasty. I mean, I think we're not done with the nasty part yet. I think there is still more nasty to come, and it's going to this year until the election is going to be real interesting, especially with a commander-in-chief who does not listen to people very well or care about anybody other than himself. And
do you think we have hope for a different president, or do you think we're heading into another term with him?
Oh, it's a crapshoot, I think. It's judged on the last election when everybody was predicting that Hillary would win due to polling information and stuff like that, and like everybody's pretty confident that Trump was going to lose, and then he won.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me very, very hesitant to say that he is not going to win this time. Because it's certainly possible. The polling is showing Joe Biden having higher numbers. But, yeah, I mean, we still got months to go till the election. And who knows what's going to happen.
Well, I wonder how much some things will escalate once, if he does stay in office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once that announcement comes through, I wonder how things will escalate. Because right now it feels like there's a hope. Like, there's a chance.
Yep.
But I don't want another 2 years of this.
No, or another 4 years.
Shh, quiet.
I don't know. I really want to speculate on, like, if Trump wins another election, that people are going to surge the White House and he's going to be assassinated and everything. But I don't. I mean, that seems.
I'm sorry. Did you say you hope he's assassinated? Derek Matthew Mast. Okay, here's another thing. Like, we do still need to be respectful.
Yeah.
To the leadership, to the authority figures that are in play. even if you don't agree with them, which is another hard thing about people disagreeing about leadership choices, because people are calling people all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
I've been praying a lot for our president, for the government authorities, for the police, for change, and for justice.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so one thing I will say is that if President Trump is reelected, it will be a God-ordained thing that happened, whether the election was legitimate or not, whether his, you know, whatever happens, it happens because God decrees it. And that does not mean that means that things are good right now or right right now, but it may be, you know, it may be yet another judgment on us as America. It may be a catalyst for great change for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And we just don't know how it's going to play out. We don't know what is going to happen. But we as Christians can still fight for what is right. We can still speak out against the wrongdoing of the police, of the government. It's a good thing to speak out on the wrongdoings and the you know, the evil things that are happening. And that's kind of the only place that you can land as a Christian right now. Yeah, I don't know. That's where I'm at. I think I ranted again. Apparently I have more feelings today than I thought I did, and I don't want to.
Yeah,
I keep stepping
too.
On you. I did have coffee, and that helps. Do you have more thoughts on stuff? And what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know, and I don't think that I can mentally get ahead of myself right now. I just keep thinking how discouraging it must be for my Black friends to think like, well, you know, maybe there will be a little bit of change, but this is going to be long and drawn out because they've been waiting a long enough time already.
Yeah. I think there's reason to be encouraged with what these protests have done, though. There are increasingly, you know, government officials coming out and saying, okay, we do need to address this problem. We need to restructure how we're dealing with the police force. Some of it is temporary stuff that may not turn into anything. Some of it seems to be that there are people in the government fighting for change against these injustices in general for the future. But we're still in a period of finding things out. Oh, the DC mayor did something really fun by having muralists come out and paint Black Lives Matter in giant yellow paint on the street leading to the White House that's still within the DC limits. That just makes my like rebellious heart happy. that Trump knows that's there now and he can't really do anything about that. It's also nice that we're seeing so much police brutality out in the open with people recording with cell phones.
Yeah, but nobody still believes that. I mean, like a lot of people still don't believe that it's happening, even though, I mean,
that's
we
true.
Had friends live streaming the events and even so, I don't think any of that footage is helping. I mean, like
it will help some.
It's helpful for us, but we're willing to have a conversation.
Yeah, it will help some. This will help convince some people, and it probably will not dissuade anyone from understanding this truth. So, regardless, this will be progressive. We may not be seeing that progress in the people that we know personally. A lot of the people that we know personally that still believe that Black Lives Matter is a sort of a terroristic movement are probably not going to see that for a long time, if ever, in their lives. And there will be people that will just continue to think that, and we can't keep looking at them hoping. I mean, we can still pray and hope that they will see the truth and find compassion, and we can do that. And it will help. It will help other people. It will. And I mean, we've come to understand the nature of oppressed black people across the nation due to previous protests, due to other people, other black people speaking out in our lives about how this is going down. And I'm really grateful that God chose to change our hearts in that way. And we can only pray that other people will also be able to see that. Anyway, should we talk about what we learned? What we've learned recently? Now that we got all the heavy stuff out right at the beginning, let's leave the light fun stuff at the end.
Well, Rainey has learned knock knock jokes recently, so that's been pretty amazing.
Yes, actually, so just speaking to the structure of how we want to do this, I would love to do like what have the kids been learning first now, because I feel like we're getting a lot more of that recently, and do the stuff that we've learned then.
I will say most of the things that I've learned have been about Black Lives Matter, and I've kind of pieced them into what's been this conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that I have a lot to share outside of that, because that's been what's been most pressing on my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're probably right. I do have one in here for me that I talk about later, but...
Is it that bubbles make a sound when they pop?
No. We already did that.
Yeah, well.
You're making fun of me on the podcast.
I'm sorry. I love you so much.
Anyway, so Rainey learned... No, I know. Rainey learned... I'm sorry, what did you say?
I love you so much.
She's been learning knock-knock jokes. So what sort of knock-knock jokes has she been telling?
Well, I'm not a mature adult, so of course I had to teach her the I eat up joke.
Knock-knock, Tanya.
Knock-knock, Derek.
Who's there?
I eat up.
I eat up who?
Ooh, that's gross.
Oh, you got me. Oh, my goodness.
It's way better when Rainey tells it, though, because then she's really like, great. Ooh, that's gross. Don't eat mine poo.
and other various. She just started making up knock-knock jokes that, of course, don't make any sense, but are just adorable hear her tell. Who's there?
Snow White.
Snow White who?
Magical. And then she laughs at herself for a good long while.
Oh, it's the best.
Seeing a toddler try to formulate a knock-knock joke is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she's been trying to teach Murray knock-knock jokes. So you hear her mm-hmm. little voice. No, you say I eat up. No, you say I eat up who? No. Okay, yes. Coaches him through the whole thing. And then they both giggle incessantly at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Makes my heart very happy.
Mm-hmm.
They are also like very much into imaginative play together right now. So mm-hmm. they're both coaching each other through what they want to do, which is very fun to listen in on.
Atlas is saying things like dada and mimicking other words. Also rolling over, trying really hard to get her to say mama. But M is a bit of a tougher letter to do. So, but that's been really fun to, because she's been saying things like all done after you say all done, and or I mean it doesn't sound like all done, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, she says all done and gentle and tickle. She tries to honestly say anything that she mm-hmm. hears us saying, but with her limited syllables, it's pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. She popped a tooth. Still working on more. It's crazy to think that she's like 10 months old now. Is she just turned 10 months, didn't she?
She just turned 9 months.
Just 9. Okay. Murray and Rainey have gone hard for Paw Patrol recently. I feel like this is one of those, like, it seems like it's minor stuff, but they're seeing their periods of interest and obsessions and stuff. Like, Murray is all about obsessions. Like, he will get attached to a thing and do that for a while as much as he can, or ask constantly to do it
all the time. You can't move him onto the next thing. I vaguely remember when Rainey was the same way. It is a season.
Mm-hmm.
They actually hear you in response to what they're saying, not just hear the complete crushing urge within their bodies and what they want to do.
Uh-huh. Yep. And so the Paw Patrol thing in general, this is kind of an interesting study in watching kids get into something is My mom bought Murray some little Paw Patrol finger puppets from the dollar store or something because she thought they were cute and fun for the kids. And
they were not from the dollar store, but yeah.
Oh, something. It was like an Easter basket thing, I guess. Yeah. And so that has been a plaything of great joy for a month and a half now. And then I bought him a Paw Patrol bike helmet because they've got like some riding stuff that he should probably have a helmet for the future. And so he really liked that. And then eventually...
They also wear their helmets when they clean up in the evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just don't ask me why. It's just a thing that happened. And now it's something fun. Like, I need my cleanup helmet. Like, okay. And then you were like... what was the impetus in like getting a season of Paw Patrol for them to watch? Just you thought they'd enjoy
it. We've had a lot of days that are rainy recently and we're stuck inside and they've had a really hard time finding something that they both want to watch together.
Mm-hmm.
Their interests are very eclectic. And there was just one day that I was like, man, we need to find a show to watch together. And, there needs to be a little bit of today, and I can't take them anywhere. I can't find something else to break the normality of what has been life. So I was like, well, do you guys want to watch Paw Patrol?
Yep.
And that is how it started.
Yeah, and they've watched that season multiple times now. At this point, Rainey is super into the stories and the individual characters. Murray's just excited about puppies on screen, I think.
Puppies in construction vehicles.
Yeah. Yep. So that's been a lot of fun for him. Addie's just, she's a baby. She's just that's kind of a weird thing. Different. Never mind.
Addie doesn't really get to watch Paw Patrol. So
no.
Addie doesn't really get to watch anything. Although... sometimes she sees me playing Animal Crossing and the kids always clap whenever I make something on Animal Crossing because all the characters clap if they're near you.
Mm-hmm.
And Addie has picked up on that and claps too, which I feel a little ashamed about, but she's learning social cues.
She is, yeah.
So about 10 people have come and gone since we've started podcasting on my island.
Nice.
Addie started biting me yesterday while nursing, so that's great.
Oh, yeah.
I've really been looking forward to that season of life again. Not only did she clamp down, but then she pulled.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's, okay. Moving on from that.
Well, you get to move on from that.
Yeah,
but
no,
I don't get to.
Yeah. It is my privilege as a man. The Rainey learned how to cut Barbie's hair recently.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that she elected to start doing before asking me, and then she asked me, and I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute!" And then I go over, and oh, there's already hair on the floor. All right, I guess we'll keep going since you already started. And
she and Murray have really been into washing their toys as well.
Mm-hmm.
Washing them in the sink with an absurd amount of soap.
Mm-hmm.
I made a comment to Rainey, maybe we cut back a little bit on the soap because we also need the soap in our home for other things. And she was going through like 5 huge pumps of soap in one sitting. It also is probably getting backlogged in her toy. But anyways.
Yeah.
And then so I was like, so maybe like one more pump of soap and then no more soap for this washing session.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back in and I smelled soap and I was like, did you use more soap? And Rainey like hangs her head and she's like, I did. I'm sorry. I love her apologies these days because like she definitely like clearly feels guilt about it with her expression. And it's really easy in this season to know when she is guilty from something because of her facial expression and just general mannerisms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that all led up to her wanting to cut Barbie's hair. And this is one of those things where I probably would have said no because you were away grocery shopping at the time. And I'm like, I don't know exactly what the boundaries are here that Tanya has set. But since Rainey started cutting the hair, I'm like, well, it's done now. Might as well keep going. And she's obviously enjoying it. And it's not going to hurt the toy. Like, I'm fine with it. We'll just go with it. And I'll apologize to Tanya later. And
I don't care, dude.
Well, but I don't know what things you care about sometimes. So anyway, so we did one of her Barbies and then did a mermaid as well. And she just got so much joy out of doing this, and she showed it to everybody that she's come in contact with, which is just my family at this point. But she was so happy. And that was one of those wonderful, like, parenting moment wins that wasn't really my fault. I was just watching Rainey learn and try things. So that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else to add?
Oh, one other thing that I did learn, as I was going to get more education materials for myself, racially, Amazon really seems to prioritize anything over like racial education stuff. I mean, like, I went looking for some books that were highly recommended by some of my Black friends, and everything but would pop up first. And maybe that's just like a popularity thing. Like, Amazon will prioritize what is most popular and most clicked on. But like, I went looking for Anti-Racist Baby, which is a book by Ibram. I feel like I don't know how to pronounce the name, but it's a board book for kids and very age appropriate about not being racist. And all of the things that popped up before, like, there was like half a page of stuff, and it was like baby monitors and stuff. And it was like, this is not even like relevant for like the product. It was just a little frustrating. And I know that there's things like that all over the place. Just like one of my friends is doing daily homework for learning to not be racist. And one of the things was Googling and finding where Black-owned businesses were in your area to support them. And I went looking for Black-owned restaurants, and the only thing that popped up was soul food in your area. And I had feelings about that.
Yeah. It's one of those, that's one of those things that is a really easy spot to go to when you're thinking about the problem of if tech is neutral or not. If you've listen to me talk about this on my on Tech Reformation long ago, I'm sure you're familiar with this, but like there are things all over the place where you can find bias against Black people, not intentionally, but because the system is so designed and run by white people, that you will find these weird places where Black people are discriminated against. Not necessarily intentionally, but just because
clearly white people want to see racist things.
No, that's not.
No, I understand.
Okay,
what you're saying.
I wasn't sure if you were serious.
Well,
but like for instance, like a hand dryer that automatically, I think it was a hand dryer. Like, there was some tech product that wouldn't recognize a Black person's hands, but would recognize a white person's hands. So, like, a Black person couldn't use the hand dryer because of just white people designed it.
I mean, Band-Aids, man. Band-Aids are flesh-colored.
Yep.
Flesh-covered. Flesh-covered Band-Aids.
Flesh-covered Band-Aids. Oh, no, the horror.
Flesh-colored. Blah, blah. I need more coffee, man.
So, yeah, that is a thing. Happens with search terms as well. Like, you'll get, because there's not as many Black people working on this stuff as white people. And it's important to get that perspective in there, so it serves Black people just as well as it serves white people. It was a good thing to bring up. A lot of people don't know or realize that stuff, or ignore it, intentionally ignore it too. But, Oh, something I've learned recent. Well, I don't know if, It's in the learning category. I strongly considered buying a gun a couple of weeks ago, like coming home from work with a shotgun and saying, okay, Tanya, we have this now.
Derek, do you know how that would go if you walked in with a gun? Sweet mercy.
Yeah. Well, so this was...
I would be like, no, sir.
I'm trying to remember exactly why... It was probably when I started like seriously considering becoming a prepper, which I'm not out of yet. But anyway, I mean, going to be
fine.
More of
I don't
a prepper
mind freezing
than,
more food and such.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think we ought to get the vacuum sealer, but yeah, hit us up if you have information on vacuum sealers and if you have one and if it's great or not. Trying to get one for Tanya. And well, anyway, but like thinking about if there was some upset person due to being in quarantine that they just want to, they have broken inside and want to go rob or hurt people and come into my house and try to hurt my family. It would be in my like gut, in my like a quick response, I think it would just be super cool to confront this person with like a neon pink shotgun and be like, get out of my house, because that just seems you're finding out a lot about my heart right now.
Oh yeah, I mean, if it's like your fast response, then we should have a conversation about Paul and sin nature and what I want to do, I do not do.
Well, yes, of course. But we've also talked about on this show before about the fact that we think that we're pacifists in the grand scheme of things. We think that we do not support fighting people with physical violence in order to protect ourselves. We don't think that that's the example that Jesus laid out, and that's the one that we should continue. Because violence begets violence, and there will be people that will commit violence regardless, but those are not the situations that we want to prepare for, I think. So it took me a while to think. It took me a couple of days of thinking about this and like being like, I don't think, even though it would be rad to be able to scare somebody out of my house or get rid of a problem, so to say, with weaponry like that.
You just referred to an image bearer as a problem.
No, it's I'm trying to portray it as my sinful heart wants to portray it. Like I want to be honest about like what my thoughts were around that, and that it was a problem. Even though in like my gut, it would be cool to do that. I do not want to be the person that does that. I think I want to be someone that immediately responds to that situation with kindness and de-escalation. And it's still something I'm working through. This is something that I'm still trying to learn about and think through for myself. So yeah, so that was an interesting revealing of my heart to myself in the past couple of weeks. So do you have anything else to add after that, or shall we wrap it up? We're not going to do our ultimate Twilight recap or review today, because this is going to be a long episode as it is.
Oh yeah, and we're spending our first date in forever doing this, because Derek's parents took our kids this morning and the two oldest ones overnight last night. So, and what did we do with our free time? We slept and we podcasted.
And it's a wonderful thing.
It is.
We do all this for you, listeners. Definitely not for ourselves. So be grateful, dang it. I'm just kidding.
We do this for ourselves, you crazy.
We do. Yes, it was facetious. And really, I just want to use my new iPad Pro and get to talk to you.
Woohoo!
So, I love you. Thank you so much.
Love you too.
For talking with me. And we will talk to you all soon.
Don't make promises.
Thanks for listening. If you want to follow or talk to us, you can do that on Instagram at settolearn, or leave us a voice message at talk.settolearn.com. But until next time, keep learning.